Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. There are three important mysteries that you must know as a believer. Compulsory, you must know. And it is mystery. It is mystery. It means if it is a mystery, then it means it will take God to decode it for you. That's why I call him the great encoder of the mystery of salvation. Concerning your salvation, church, take note of this. It will help you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Three mysteries. We have been emphasizing them in various ways in this ministry. The first mystery, praise the Lord, is the mystery of godliness. Apostle Paul says, without controversy, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He said, and without controversy, no argument, great is the mystery of godliness. There's a mystery there. It is that mystery that produced Jesus Christ. And Jesus is that mystery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He knows it unless he decodes it to you. He told them in Luke chapter 10 and verse 22. He said, no man knows the Father except the Son. Hallelujah. And no man knows the Son except the Father. And to him, who the Father will reveal the Son to you before you will know him. So he said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? He was asking his disciples. Because unless the Father reveal who I am to you, you will never know because it is a mystery. That is mystery number one. And it is in trying to understand that mystery that has brought about the doctrine of Trinity. You can never know it unless the Father reveal that mystery to you. The second mystery, praise the Lord, is the mystery of translation. The rapture is a mystery. Amen. How he will come and take his people home is a mystery. Unless he reveal it to you, you will just say, ba 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 ba. Everybody disappear. Everybody disappear. Disappear. Now lie. It's a mystery. And the third mystery that you must know is the mystery of iniquity. It's the mystery of iniquity. And that mystery is, the three mysteries are all explained in the Bible in shadows and types. For the Old Testament speaks of the New Testament. It's a shadow of the New Testament. Anything that is happening or will happen in the New Testament has been foreshadowed in the Old Testament. Oh, praise God. Until God reveals this mystery, you will just be worshiping God and worshiping God and worshiping God. And you may not know that you are already part of the mystery of iniquity. And it is in trying to make us understand this mystery of iniquity. What is the mystery of iniquity? The mystery of iniquity comes physical and spiritual. Physical in the Old Testament, spiritual in his church in the New Testament. Hallelujah. Physical is how Satan entered the human race and took over God's creation. How he did it needs is so mysterious that the revelation must not be given to all. And that is why how he did it is written in symbol, the book of Genesis. And how it will also end up is the book of Revelation. And they are all written in symbol. So that except God gives you this revelation, you will just be going to church. You're a Christian, and you will think that everybody that is going to church, that is calling the name of the Lord, is of Christ. Why I say this is so that you'll understand. This study that we are studying the book of Revelation is to help you understand this great mystery of iniquity that started in the days of Apostle Paul, the first church age. And you need to know it. I am not a teacher. I am a preacher. Anything I tell you, this is the meaning. I am telling you the meaning to give you reason to know where to stand in your Christian faith. That's why I say I'm a preacher, not a teacher. Everything I show you is to give you reason to be odd on this world, in this earth. We are not to conform to this earth. You will conform until you have a reason not to conform. Till you have a reason not to conform. The study of the seven church ages is the battle between the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That's what it is. That's the summary of it all. How the church started and how Satan infiltrated. And how God has been moving to counter him. Praise the Lord. That is all you'll be seeing from chapter 1 up to chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. So it's so important that you listen. Praise the Lord. Let's bow down our heads. Our Father and our God, we want to take a reading of your word, a study of your word, a mystery, the mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. That great agenda of God and great agenda of Satan that has pleased you to reveal only to your elect in this age. It's a great privilege, O God. Cause me to say something that you will use and cause somebody's spiritual eyes to be open to establish the person in the pathway of truth in the name of Jesus Christ. Come and speak to your people, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Open your Bible. Can we stand up and pick it as a text? Revelation chapter 2, the third church age, verse 12. Up to verse 17. Are we there? And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "This thing said he, which had the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's city is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there, in your midst there, them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balaam to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So art thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit said unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Sit down on top of the head of your enemies. Sit down on top of the head of Antichrist. Praise the Lord. At the last study, we did not conclude it. But I know that we reached an emphasis where we tried to look at chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9 of the second church age. We tried to give it an emphasis there. It was necessary. He says, "I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy." That is the emphasis now. That was where we ended. "That I know the blasphemy of them. We say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of what? Of Satan. Hallelujah. Now we know who a Jew is. We read it last time. Who a true Jew is, so that you'll understand. And please, let me re-emphasize again, like I said before, that we are looking at these local churches that God used. We're looking at those local churches in Asia Minor. Each of them had characteristics that was going to reflect in the oncoming ages of the Gentile church dispensation. And so there were characteristics. The city itself that the church was located had something to do with the age. And the believers that were dwelling in that city also was a reflection of the condition of the believers that would be going through that particular age that period or that church and the people reflected. And so, while we look at it as a history, I also told you that each move of God was countered by the move of Satan. And each time God moved, Satan will go to quench the light. He tries to take over that church. So he takes over that church age. But God cannot be defeated. So he moves again in another move. Hallelujah. The light cannot be quenched. Amen. He moves again. And Satan plans again against that move. But watch it. Each time he moves, Satan does not start anything new. Whatever he was using the previous age, he moves it to the next age and adds more. Maybe I didn't do well. Now when I seek light, they go. The one where I do, I will not drop it. I will add more. And so, the second church age was all the arsenals that he used. All the weapons that he used. All the trees that he used. All the demons that he released. They are the ones he moved over to the second church age and added more for that age. Praise God. And he continued like that till this seventh church age that we are in. I want to emphasize it so that you are hearing me maybe for the first time, you can flow with us and know why we are taking this teaching so passionately. It will determine where you stand. It will help you know why we are, you know, taking the stand that we take, some of us. And why we see people who claim they are followers of the end time message, and we should be the ones to reflect true Christianity, but yet in our midst, you hear things that you should not hear. But it helps us to know that that is how it has always been in every age. Hallelujah. But that in every age, God had his remnant. That no matter what is happening around, there are still people that will stand with him, even in the midst of all the apostasy. Don't look at somebody because he carries Bible and say he's a Christian. You are not a Christian by the Bible you carry. You are not a Christian by the scriptures you quote. You are a Christian by the life you live. Praise God. You are a Christian by the life you live. Therefore, be diligent to make your calling and election sure. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Before you conclude concerning the Christian faith of anybody, make sure you have gotten close and you have seen the fruit of the Spirit. You've seen the life of Christ in that person. Because this is why we are taking this study. Praise the Lord. So don't, I'm teaching all this so that you will shine your eye. It will help you how to relate with one another. And it will even help you to know which church to go. Sometimes it is better you sit in your house than to go to some churches. Because of a knowledge. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so that is what they used to know. That they say they are Jews, but that they were not. But they were of the synagogue of Satan. And what is a synagogue? What is the difference between a synagogue? They didn't say of a church of Satan. They say synagogue of Satan. There is a difference between church and synagogue. Synagogue means, okay, church. Church means called out ones. People who have been called out. Amen. You are called out from the world. They were called out of Egypt. So, the Old Testament, the Bible calls them the church in the wilderness. They were called out. But a synagogue is nothing but an assembly or a gathering of people. And it can be for any motive, for any purpose. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So their claim was false. They claimed they were of God. They claimed they were Jews. That means they were covenant people. Hallelujah. Do you know? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's just like Cain and Abel. Came out from the same womb, but different origin. Amen. But they were all in the same church. Very religious people. Praise the Lord. And why do people who go to false churches, why do they believe that they are of God? It is the same reason. Oh, glory be to God. It is the same reason that Satan can begin to tell you a lie. And tell you and continue to tell you a lie. Before you know what, you will believe that lie to be true. But a lie is still a lie. Now, why do I say so? Cain was given birth to. Amen. Cain was given birth to. By who? By the same Eve that gave birth to Abel. And immediately she bore Cain, Eve announced and proclaimed, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Was that man from the Lord? It was a lie. And Cain believed that lie. So Cain believed according to the testimony. That's lie. That he was of God. He was produced according to God's plan. Because my mother, very spiritual, told me my origin. But the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Adam knows who he became. Be. No matter what Eve, believing the lie of Satan, we say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said again, that thou shalt have tribulation. How many days? 10 days. 10 days. And the 10 days, according to history, were the 10 days, were the 10 years that wicked emperor, Diocletian was his name, Emperor Diocletian. According to history, he was the most cruel emperor. He launched the bloodiest campaign against the saints in history. Very wicked. And it lasted for 10 years, according to historians, from AD 302 to AD 312. 10 years. That is the 10 days that we see in Revelation chapter 2. And verse 10, praise the Lord. And to them, he said they should be faithful unto death. No matter what persecution you are going through, we emphasize, he said, I know, I know, I know, I know. I know. Praise the Lord. So you can imagine how it was in the second church age. It started in the first church age. When Apostle Paul will say, I have fought the good fight of faith. Why? Because in the message, and he was assured that there is a crown of righteousness that was waiting for him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he says, be faithful unto death. He was telling that age. And to every believer, even now, he said, and when you do that, he said, I will give thee a crown of life. That was what Apostle Paul was sure he will get. He fought the good fight of faith. And to fight the good fight of faith is not to carry guns and ammunition and go and fight those who are fighting you. Remember, the battle is to take you away from truth to error. So your ability to remain with the truth, despite all persecutions, that is the fight. That will decide whether you are an overcomer or you have been subdued. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To him that overcometh, in verse 11, he said the second death, he will not be hurt of the second death. And we know the second death is the death from the second resurrection. As we see it in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 11 to verse 15. The lake of fire. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, the destruction of the truth, the church, it was planted from the first church age. Hallelujah. And then it was going through killing and killing the light. He was in the process, the mystery of iniquity, Satan, was in the process of killing the light. He started in the first church age. And by the time we come to this third church age now, that we are entering into now in our study, you notice that it came to completely, he killed, he succeeded. That was when the final blow was given to the church, to truth. That was when he finally took over. And so, we notice, praise the Lord, where we read. That is the third church age, the Pergamian church age. That city was called Pergamum. Pergamum, and it's the same location where the other churches were in Asia Minor. And it lasted that age also. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. With all the characteristics of that city. With all the characteristics of that city. Because that city was referred to as the seat of Satan. As we shall see later. That was Satan's seat. And we shall see how Pergamum became Satan's seat. And not just Satan's seat. Physical. It became, that was when he moved to the church. That is when he moved from the physical rulership of human beings on earth. He moved spiritual church. Oh, glory be to God. It became his seat. He took over that seat in this third church age. The age lasted from AD 312 to AD 600. And the messenger that received that message to that local church was Martin. And we told you, you need to know the history of that man for you to know why he qualified to be the star messenger for that. As you remember, verse 16 of Revelation chapter 1, he had seven stars in his right hand. And those seven stars, according to verse 20 of Revelation chapter 1, they were the messengers to those churches. The candles, seven candlesticks that he is seen walking among the seven golden candlesticks. Verse 20 tells us that they are the seven churches, the stars, they are the angels to those churches. And speaking of the seven church ages, that each age we had a star messenger that will hold the light for that age. And the first star messenger was Apostle Paul for the Ephesian church age, the first church age. and the Smyrna church age, praise the Lord. Who did we say qualify for that? Irenaeus. And we use Apostle Paul as the standard. Until now, up to the seventh church age, whoever will be qualified to be the light bearer, the star messenger for that age, will be the closest person to the ministry of Apostle Paul. And so in this third church age, the one that most certainly approximated the ministry of Apostle Paul was that faithful man, servant of God, Martin. He died in AD 399, but he left enough light for that age for them to follow. As we were told, just briefly, so that you understand why he was selected in that age. He was a professional soldier. According to history, church history, this, all theologians know this history. Not only end-time message. Every theologian knows it. All those doctors of divinity, I mean those who read, not those who collect, what do you call that? That degree, what do they call them? Honorary. Not those who sit down and send money and they send their certificate and they change their name. Go near them. Ask them to even write their name. They cannot write. Tell them to defend the faith. They know nothing, nothing, nothing. But just part of the product of the Antichrist moving in the church. And you will see clearer and clearer as we go along. Praise the Lord. Because that somebody sits down and says he's a reverend doctor. He started by way back from the third church age. That you have all these things are going on in the church. Nothing, the denominational system is the Antichrist system. God has no hand in it. Because he didn't set it up. And that is, the person that set it up is Satan. But nobody knows because it's a mystery. Praise God. And the evidence is, the same way it happened before, it's happening now. Anytime you show them their error, they will be angry and fight you. But a Christian, when you show them their error, they repent. Two spirits. That's how you know them. No true believer fights for his God. They are listening to me now. Wherever you are listening to me, if you are angry because I am speaking against what you stand for, you are Antichrist. If you are a true Christian and you believe that I am in error, you will pray for me. You will not be killing me. You won't want to kill me. Look for answers. Take me to Juju House where the source of your power is. Why not show me where I am wrong in the scripture? I show you in the scripture where you are wrong. Show me where I am interpreting wrongly. You are getting angry. You are Antichrist. It's Antichrist. It's the same spirit. The same spirit. The same spirit. The same spirit. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. He was a soldier. Martin was a soldier. And it is, but converted. He was a Christian. But he was a professional soldier. And according to history, that he was sent to go to where he was, with the town he was posted to. During winter, according to the story, which many of you know already, that he was walking on the street and he saw one poor beggar shivering under winter cold. Everybody was passing and not taking care of him, not minding him. But Luther came and saw him, Martin saw him and had compassion. The history says he removed his coat, tore it into two, and used the other half and wrapped the man. And attended to him to just make him a little bit more comfortable. Just as a Christian duty. And he went home. That night, he was sitting at home and a vision broke forth. And he saw the Lord Jesus Christ wearing that same half of his coat. Oh, glory be to God. And said, Martin, though you are just a common church member, common believer, but see what you have done for me. And the vision passed. That experience changed his thinking about Christianity. Brought a fire on him that made him to be what he is being referred to today as a star messenger. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And concerning miracles, he had serious miracles. Remember that Martin, he operated in an age of persecution. That every other person, because for fear, they were all hiding, but he was bold. He was ready to die. And he would go down. He went to the town, and every shrine in that town, he destroyed it. When they pulled down every shrine, all these funny hidden altars. Give your life to Christ. Is this God? Like carving wood and see what you are doing. And then all of them gathered to kill him. The story says that when they gathered to kill him, he himself, he decided to do it like Elijah did in the Mount Carmel shoulder. In a hill, there was a big tree there. And maybe that is the tree they were all worshipping as their God. Maybe that's where they were all doing their meeting, one of the shrines. On a hill. And the history says that he said they should tie him at the side so that when they cut the tree, you know, it will slope and then fall and then crush him because it was in a hill. Cut it normally where the free fall will be from the top, come down like that in the gradient, like that. So they tie him there and all of them gathered. This man that has disturbed us, you will see today, you will die. The history says, when they cut it instead of the tree to fall on him, the tree fell the other side. Contrary to gravitational laws. Hallelujah. And when those hidden were running, you know now how God will do it. That tree fell on many of them. Many of them died. So they had to leave him alone. The God of Elijah is still alive. When God raises a star, he will do something that everybody will know. I am with this man. A wicked emperor that was killing believers anyhow. Martin decided to go and visit him. He wanted to have audience with him. The man refused to give him audience. He decided to go to that false bishop. A bishop there. I forgot his name now. He said, go on, you are close to the seat of power because all bishops are close to politicians. All Jews are close to the powers, imperial powers, political powers, because that is the power that gives them backing, not the power from above. They are who they are by the recognition of the powers that be. Not the powers from above. So he went to them. Maybe you listen. The bishop refused. So Martin decided to go on his own. When he went there, he discovered that the gate was closed. He could not enter the palace. The history said he decided to lie face down to begin to pray. He said suddenly he heard a voice, stand up and look up. When he stood up, he saw the gate opening by itself. Praise the Lord. Amen. And the history says that he decided to go in there. When the emperor was sitting on his throne and saw him walked in, and he was trying to give me your ear, I want to tell you something. The man would not listen to him. And then he said, suddenly, Martin went down again to pray. To the source of his power. Oh, glory be to God. The history said, fire came on the seat of the emperor. The man had to stand up and run away. So they will know that there is a God in Israel. Hallelujah. So the man was fearless against preaching a ministry that will go against the Antichrist move. Must be bold. Praise the Lord. Must be bold. And what gives you boldness is not your natural stubbornness. That one will land you into trouble. God will not back it up. It is a boldness that comes from above. And because you are bold, by that power, he stands by you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It was also spoken that assassins came one time, broke into his apartment to kill him. And he told them, say, wait, let me prepare myself. And he stood up and then put his neck. Oh yeah, slaughter me now. The history says that as soon as they raised up the knife to slaughter him, they say a power came and threw all of them away from there. And all of them fell down and crawled on their knees, asking him to forgive them. And that is how they left him. They could not touch him. Praise the Lord. He raised the dead, just like Elijah. A dead child was dead. He went exactly, placed himself on top of that child, prayed, and the child came back to life. And many such mighty miracles that the man performed. But above all, he stood with the word and refused to go with the order of the day. And despite all that power, he was humble. All these qualifications made him to be identified as the star messenger holding the light for that Pergamian church age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Remember, I said it was an age of persecution. Because Jesus Christ had prophesied in John chapter 16 and verse 2. Can we read it? John, he was telling his disciples, hallelujah, chapter 16, hallelujah, amen, verse 1 and verse 2. These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. He was telling his disciples, and we are part of those disciples, and the Pergamian church age saints were part of those disciples. He said, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he's doing God what? A service. They were killing them and thinking that they were doing God a service. They were calling them heretics. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And yet, there were saints that stood with him. And church, I am saying this, that at that time, so that you will understand that at that time they were killing the people, but Satan up to this moment has not stopped killing, has not stopped killing believers, killing those who confess Christ. Go to the Middle East, hear what is happening. Go to India, hear what is happening. People who stand confessing this God of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ. And but I say, in every age, there is something else he will use to make it tougher. So if he does not get you using one, he will get you using the other. In this age, what the saints of this age will fight, like the saints in Pergamos fought, is a spirit, first and foremost, the spirit of fashion and the spirit of money. Fashion, the fashions of this world. That's why it's very difficult for a sister, a Christian sister, so-called Christian sister in this age, to drop the fashions of this world, to look different from the world. It's difficult. Why? It is the spirit that has been released and it has caught many. But I'm telling you, although it has caught many, there are still daughters of God called the elect that will stand with the truth. They stand with the voice of the star messenger for that age. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's talking to those, only those who have ears to hear. Only those who have ears to hear. Praise the Lord. So we go to the salutations. His greeting now to the church. Revelation chapter 2. How did he put it? He's always saying, I know. Hallelujah. 12. This is what he said. And unto the angel of the church in Pergamos, right, said, this thing, say who? He which had the sharp sword with two edges. Let me say something about that too. Because he's introducing himself to that edge. Who he is? He is, hallelujah, he which had the sharp sword with two edged, with two edges. Who is he? Who is he? Who is he that has, what is that sword? What is that sword? Not just the word of God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12. The word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper than two-edged sword. Ephesians chapter 6 refers to the word of God as the sword of the Spirit. Now, if he says he is the one that has it, it means he is the one that has thus said the Lord. When he speaks, God has spoken. So that you understand Hebrews chapter 1. And why he needed to make that introduction. This is the way Apostle Paul wrote to the Hebrew. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers. Who did he speak by? By the prophets. In the Old Testament, thus said the Lord, was with who? Oh, can we, are we together? With who? It was the prophets that had thus said the Lord. And that's why, by the time Jesus Christ came, they could not recognize him because he was not a prophet. They knew of Isaiah, Jeremiah. They knew of Moses. They knew of all the other prophets. And who is this one? You are not a prophet. So he's telling them, in time past, the word was with those prophets. Verse 2, now, he, God, has in these last days now, spoken unto us, by who? By who? So that is why he is the one which had the sword with two edges. Hallelujah. If you listen to any other person, you will miss it. God has decided now in these latter days whom he had appointed heir of all things, but whom he had also made the worlds. Praise the Lord. So where is the word of God? Jesus. That is why Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. But how many people will understand that? You need to understand that so that you will know how to follow any man. Apostle Paul said, follow me as what I do what? As I follow Christ. Because that is where he is hearing from. Some of you follow your Jew. When you try to tell him, okay, Joe, you talk like this, but Jesus talk like this, he'll say, shut up. But you will still keep quiet and follow him. It's a mystery. Praise the Lord. That is why he still continually had to ask, who do you say I am? And everybody was following. He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I tell you? Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I am the way. No man. You can never make heaven without Christ. So the same Apostle Paul says Christ is the wisdom of God. He's the wisdom of God. Christ. Hallelujah. When there is a way, especially enter message believers, they seem to understand Jesus, the word of God. And there is a way they technicalize that explanation that can very easily confuse people. Because the Bible says, because of their interpretation of John chapter 1, I am sorry, I also study. And when I study, because I am not a follow, and I know God called me, I depend on Him too to grant me understanding. So no matter how I respect you, Rich, and you say something contrary to an understanding that I have that I can prove otherwise from the same scripture, I will follow the one for scripture. Praise the Lord. And so, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then they tell you Christ is the Word of God. And then when you pick it surfacely like that, and you say Christ is the Word of God, then you are just looking at Him as if the Word. When you see Him, you are seeing the Word. When I see, you see the Word. When I see, you see the Word. Because of your interpretation of what that word in John chapter 1 is. Church, the same thing. Hallelujah. You can see it now. He introduces Himself as He which hath. He has the word. He has the sword with two edges. He has it. He has the word. Now God talks only through Him. As far as salvation is concerned, you need that so that you will stand firm with the scriptures rather than being thrown up and down by every wind of doctrine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so in John chapter 6, He also gave them a test to see whether they even understand Him. Let's open John chapter 6. Amen. He began to tell them, hallelujah, in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Began to speak like that, things that will confuse them because He knew the two groups of people that were following Him. Hallelujah. Verse 65. And He said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Then said Jesus unto the 12 that remained behind, including Judas, will you also go away? The answer of Peter is my emphasis. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter caught the revelation. Now, I will not be listening to all these Old Testament people again. No, this is the person I should be following now. You, true, you have the sword with two edges. You are the one. And that's why what He was saying was piercing through the Pharisees and Sadducees. Instead of them to repent, they were getting angry. Hallelujah. And we believe, verse 69, and are sure that thou art that Christ. Not the Christ now. That Christ. The Son of the living God. That, it means there was a promise. You are the fulfillment of that promise. You are the Messiah we are waiting for. Although we cannot understand what is happening now. Although they say the Messiah come. He will deliver us from these Roman people. But you come now. The way you come, sir. We are confused. But get some sign where I know, say, no man has been like this before. This is the same man that will, nature will speak to him. He will speak to nature, nature will obey. Never have we seen the dead coming to life, blind, receiving their sight. Never. For the past 400 years, nothing like that. All we knew was former religious setting. But this man, you came from nowhere, from one poor family. Even the way you were born, said, we never understand that yet. But there is something about you. These words that you speak hit us hard. When you speak, there is a fire that comes from your word that we have never experienced before. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You are that Christ, the Son of the living God. So, who was speaking to that church age? It was still the same one that was walking in the midst of the candlesticks, who had the seven stars in his right hand. And in verse 13, he said, I know thy works. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are two things that he knows. In that age, he knows that their condition, they know how they were serving him. I know thy works. And he also knew their location. Where you are located. You are located right where Satan himself, Lucifer, that is where he lives. How did he come to Pergamos? According to history, when the Medo-Persians, the Medes, and the Persians came to end that Babylonian empire, there was that priest king that ran and escaped with some of his priests. And they came and settled in Pergamon. And brought the same Babylonian religion that was polytheist. They have many gods they serve. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we know the story of Babylon. Babylon sprang through the son of Ham, among the three children of Noah. Ham gave birth to Cush. Hallelujah. And Cush had, he had a kingdom that he built of great power. And it was he, Cush, that gave birth to Nimrod, who was a mighty hunter. Amen. And Nimrod decided to achieve three things. Number one, he desired to build a strong nation. And he achieved it. Number two, he proposed to propagate his own religion. And he achieved it. And thirdly, he wanted to make a name for himself. And so that gave birth to the idea of building the Tower of Babel. That God decided, if I don't scatter this thing, they will achieve what they want to achieve. And then God went, we know the story, and scattered their plan. He did it and allowed confusion in their midst. And from that confusion, praise the Lord, because they were not understanding themselves anymore, they scattered all around the world. But by that time, they all left with that same religion wherever they went to. And that is what gave birth to the nation or the empire of Babylon. Babylon was to achieve what they could not achieve at the Babel. And where they built the Tower of Babel was where the Babylonian kingdom sprang from. It was a Gentile kingdom. Hallelujah. That was later on going to be among the four kingdoms. The first of the four kingdoms that will rule the world before Christ will come and scatter it and establish his own rule on earth here for 1,000 years. Nimrod started it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And all that he achieved. And so, because it was Satan that was in the business of spreading that his religion, he was the one inspiring Nimrod. Satan himself had to come to Pergamos to dwell there. So people are looking for Satan, they will go to the ocean. Satan is not in the ocean. No. Mommy water, papi water. Some people say Satan is in the cloud 999. When you see some of these people giving their testimony, I don't even bother to read or even listen to some of them. I know better. Praise the Lord. It's still part of the lies of Satan to divert people away from where he is. Why does God call a church Mystery Babylon? Hallelujah. If Babylon is the seat of Satan, it means there is, where he is sitting now, there is a spiritual Babylon. Satan is in the church. Oh, glory be to God. Praise the Lord. Remember that they spread that religion all over Europe. Because they were a strong nation. And we know that any nation that goes to conquer another nation, it will subdue that nation and all her practices. It will force them to adopt all her religion, her practices, everything. That is why the Middle East today that we know, that is largely Islam today, it was all Christian nations. Iraq, that is where even the Garden of Eden, that is where River Euphrates is in Iraq. That is where man started. That was heaven. The portion of heaven on earth was in Iraq. But where is it today? Where is Syria? All this Saudi Arabia, all of them. And when that man, Muhammad, took off to conquer and conquer, anywhere they conquer, they forced them to adopt their religion. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so, if their religion was spread naturally by conquer, then you'll understand why God says he hates those that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Nicolaitans is also, as he conquered nations, it was a spirit that was released to the church to conquer the church. And as soon as he conquered, that started from the first church age, second church age, by the third church age, it was total conquer. It is only normal that he who conquered the church, he will force you into the same religious polytheism, where you have many gods. The Babylonian Empire, the Babylonian religion, consisted of many gods. They worship God for this, God for that, God for this. It is only normal that if they conquer the Christian faith, that they will also introduce idolatry. They will introduce polytheism. They will introduce many, many gods. So that you will know the history of Trinity. Praise the Lord. So that you will know the history of why, instead of us to have prophets now, you know those who are leading the church. Instead of us, oh glory be to God, to have the fivefold ministry that the church started with. What do we have now? There are some churches that when you look at the leader of that church, you will not differentiate him from an emir or a king. somewhere, of one village, of one place somewhere. You see the way Emmaus dress. That is the same way some Jews, some bishops, and archbishops. That is how they dress. They even have crown that they are crowned with. Where did they get that from? It is the spirit that conquered the church that introduced what they were doing as heathens was introduced to the church. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 14, Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. To do what? To eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Verse 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Two doctrines he hates. The doctrine of Balaam and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. They are in the church now. It's going on now. These two doctrines are in the church now. Now. Can we stand up? See me through, Lord Jesus. See me through, Lord Jesus. Let me hear you if you mean it. There is a thing. 3, 2
to be one. Give me power. Every hour.
Oh Lord,
see me.
One more time.
Oh, see me through.
Lord Jesus.
That's our prayer. Oh Lord, see me through. There is a race.
I must run.
There's a victory to the wrong.
There is a victory to be won.
Give me power, O Lord.
Give me power.
Every hour, see me through.
One more time.
Oh Lord, see me through. Lord Jesus, see. Oh Lord, see me through. Lord Jesus, see me through. There is a race.
There is a race. I must run.
There's a victory to be won.
There is a
victory
to be won.
Lord, give me power.
Give me power.
Every hour.
That has to be your prayer. That has to be your prayer, because what Satan has done that has conquered the church of Jesus Christ, as it looks, is too deep, and very few people have escaped it. There are people that preach and they are showing concern. How the church is now. I've listened to some of those preachers. They're showing concern. But while they're showing concern, they are still part of the system if you look at it very well. Because that mystery is too deep. Church is too deep. This revelation takes you to a point. We are not even Bride Assembly. I'm telling you to belong. I'm trying to make you to get connected to Him. It is no more time to do church. Maybe somebody is listening to me and saying, I'm condemning everybody so that they will come to my own. You don't know me. That's why you're saying like that. I have never said that this is the gateway to heaven. But I've always said, we have something that will help you escape the Antichrist system. We have it here. Because we ourselves, we have identified the star messenger for the age. And we have caught the revelation. And our eyes of understanding, He has opened it. Hallelujah. Christianity now, it is no more where I belong, but who I belong to. You belong to your church or you belong to Jesus. That's all we try to bring out. It will help you to know why we, some of us, act the way we act. It will help you to know why I don't have special treatment for rich people in this church. You cannot catch me with anything. You can't catch me. Whether you're a billionaire or a millionaire, nothing will stop me from talking. The time is too short to play religion. Too short. Make your calling and election sure.